I'm glad you're all here this morning. Welcome to the second service of Victory Life Church. Man, the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And if you're joining online, we welcome you too. And everybody say hi to Pastor Craig and Leanne, because I bet they're watching today. Hey, we love you, Pastor. We love you guys. There we go. Man, the Lord is good. Well, if you're visiting with us, I'm Pastor Stan. It's my lovely wife, Kathy, on the front row. And we're glad to be sharing with you this morning, be a part of the service today. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, back in Jubilee, right after Jubilee, Pastor Craig, you're going to love him as we love him. And he and Luann are just sweethearts. They're so humble. They really are so humble. They're great visionaries, but they're so humble and compassionate and caring about people. And I'm excited for them to step into this role as the campus lead pastor right here in Brownwood. And I just want you to know now, just so you'll know, and I know I've heard some things being said and some feedback in some areas, and people are, you know, people always think stuff. No, these guys are our choice. And we've prayed them in here, man, all the way from South Africa, you know. I mean, hey, the Lord is good. We prayed them in. Praise God. You know, and we're not being shoved out. We're not, Kathy and I are not being put out to pasture. I refuse to be put out to pasture, you know. But if that's what the Lord's will is, then there's some stuff out in a pasture that needs some good ministry. So we're excited to go to our next as well. And I'm glad for Brownwood going to their next. And, you know, back during Jubilee, as I was saying a moment ago, as Pastor Craig, you know, I had asked him to be sure to come here and share vision after the Jubilee, the Sunday right after. And he was, you know, he said, hey, why don't you take half the service and you share the things of Thanksgiving and looking back and that sort of thing. And, you know, I prepared for that. But I felt real, like the day before, no, this is not my time to share that. We need to be casting vision and looking forward, because I want to look forward. I love to look forward. What's the Lord doing? What's the challenge ahead of us? And so he had prepped, man. He was ready. He was on go. And what a great Sunday that was. But, you know, I had Frankie hand him about 50 pictures, you know. I was thinking, okay, we're going to be thankful. These are the things that we have served together in and saw the Lord accomplish here in Brownwood. And I didn't have time to put the 300 pictures in, you know, just the, you know. I was thinking about all of that. And you know, really, if Kathy and I were to look back and to look at a legacy, you know, of what we have all served together and seen God do here, listen, our legacy is sitting in this room today. Our legacy is folks tuning in online. You know, the lives that we've all served together. We have served the Lord together. We have functioned together. We've seen God do great things together. And listen, you know, if you just show up and keep doing the work of the ministry, man, we're going to be like the 70 that came back to Jesus and said, Jesus, we even got the devils on a run. Man, we're running them around. We're going to beat the devil, shove the devil back. We're going to see mountains move. We're going to see lives change. We're going to see people restored and peace come into hearts. And this continue to be a place of refuge and safety for people of the world and people of God. You're the blessing of this body. And I know that Craig he's excited to come here because of you. He and Leanne are going to, and you're going to love these guys. Please give them the same opportunity and chance that you gave us when we came to Brownwood so many years ago. The Lord is just so good. Good things in store. So, you know, this is a Sunday that's probably, well, it is. It's my last Sunday to share as your pastor. So, you know, and so I don't want to reminisce and look back. I want to look ahead. I want to look, and I've got something to share with you on my heart that I want to encourage you in and challenge you in and hopefully be a blessing to you. And I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad for those that have tuned in online that, you know, maybe you don't know there's as many or more people tuning in online as I've been in the services on Sunday morning. That's awesome, isn't it? Man, the Lord is so good. But listen, I want to start today, and I want to read a promise over our body that Kathy and I have been reading and praying over you guys every day. And this is it. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is our refuge, our place of safety. He is our God, and we trust Him. For He will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease. He will cover us with His feathers. He will shelter us with His wings. His faithful promises, they are our armor and protection. We will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. We will not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at our side, though 10,000 are dying around us, these evils will not touch us. We will open our eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If we make the Lord our refuge, if we make the Most High our shelter, no evil will conquer us. No plague will come near our home. For he will order his angels to protect us wherever we go. They will hold us up with their hands so we won't even hurt our foot on a stone. We will trample upon lions and cobras. We will crush fierce lions and serpents under our feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Oh, glory to God. That's God's faithful promise over us. That's his word over us. God is a faithful God, and his faithful promises, they are our shield and our protection. Oh, glory to God. So I want to share something with you this morning that I believe is on my heart, that I hope that will bring clarity to you about who you are and what maybe your obligation in the kingdom is. And Lord, here's what I do with understanding. Let's go over to 1 Timothy, if you will. And let's start in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you're taking notes about verse 7 through 11, I'm going to be reading here. And this is Paul's instruction to Timothy as he steps into ministry. As he begins to minister, he said, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Well, you know, I don't know that I understand all the dynamics of the life to come. I know it's going to be glorious. I know that it's wonderful. But you know what? I can have benefits on this side of the veil. I don't have to wait for the sweet by and by to experience God and to be a beneficiary of his promises in my life. Are y'all getting that? And he said, this training in godliness will bring those benefits to your life. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Look at verse 11. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Teach these things and insist, Timothy, that everyone learn them. You know, and I wonder, let me ask you, what does that say to you today? You sitting here reading with me the scripture, hearing Paul's exhortation to Timothy, because we know that that relates to us as well, right? What is it that that would say to you? What understanding would that bring to you? Does it bring a challenge? Does it just bring an encouragement? Is it challenging you? Because when I read in the scripture, the times of our life are challenging. And I read in the scripture that in the latter times, there will be those who will abandon the faith. They'll depart from the faith. Well, I don't want to depart from the faith. So I'm going to train myself in godliness. I'm going to train myself to follow God and to hear God because I want the benefits of walking with God. Isaiah 33, verse 6 says this. Talking about the Lord, he will be the sure foundation for your times. Now, how many of you have felt like our times of life right now are very challenging? I've seen a lot of people who feel like they don't have sure footing. There's a lot of things that they've been afraid. They've been unstable even in their sensing of, do I have stability in the times? Are things rocking in my world that will I be able to stand? Listen, the Word says that he is the sure foundation for our times. So we want to stay founded on the Lord. He's our foundation. Now listen to this. It says he is a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. He's a storehouse. He's a storehouse of salvation, of wisdom, and knowledge. You understand that salvation is more than your ticket to heaven. I want to experience the salvation of God in my life day to day, to feel his saving grace and his power working in my life day to day. He is a storehouse of salvation. He's a storehouse of wisdom. He's a storehouse of knowledge. And the remainder of that line tells us, how do we find this? Because that, listen, if you have the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, that's a great treasure to be found. Am I right? Well, let's see, how do we find that? He says, teach these things, insist that everyone learn them. But he goes on to say, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. I want to access that treasure, then I need a fear of the Lord. So, God, what is that? The fear of the Lord, of course, is the beginning of knowledge, right? But the fear of the Lord is the key to taking and taking advantage of the treasures of God and his wisdom and knowledge. I never want to be caught where I'm not conscious of the Lord in my life. I want to have a fear. Lord, what does that mean? Lord, I have a respect for you. I realize that without you, I'm nothing. Yeah. Lord, I have this reverential fear in you, God, that my life without your strength is going to accomplish nothing. It's going to amount to nothing. I'll be here and gone, and what have I accomplished? What have I done? How have I served? But, Lord, I want to tap into your treasure of knowledge and wisdom. I want to be something with my life. I want to serve purpose in my life. The fear of the Lord is the key to that. That's how you will access his understanding, his wisdom, and his knowledge. Oh, glory to God. So, you know, as we move into this stage of training ourselves to be godly, there are two qualities that we see in the Word of God that describe you and I. It's salt and light. One of those I'll be expounding on today. The salt we should retain. With salt, we'll retain our savor, our flavor. We should. And as light, we should shine forth to all men. Now, when a person is born again, I want you to see something this morning. When a person is born again, he moves into two areas of relationship with God. One, he has a relationship with God that is eternal. But he also has a fellowship with God which is temporal. We need to understand the difference of that. And in relationship, when you're born again, the Lord gives you things. For one, he gives you eternal life. It's a free gift. But he also gives you righteousness. You have become an eternal priest before God. Go to 1 Peter 2 with me. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God and by Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That scripture right there, you can go before God's presence because of what he did inside of you. Then you can go before the actual presence of God and take to him a spiritual sacrifice before God. Not bullocks and lambs and things like that, but a sacrifice of praise from your heart. God gave you access to him to bring that to him. That's what he has done for you. But also, you were given righteousness, right standing with God. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says, God alone made it possible. God alone made it possible for you. It wasn't something you did or I did. Nobody could do it. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy, and he gave himself to purchase our freedom. As the scriptures say, listen, the person who wishes to boast should boast only in what the Lord has done. God made you right standing with him. You got to get a hold of it, not just from the other side of Well, it's awesome that he did something like that. No, God made me righteous to approach his throne. God paid the price. When the devil's lying to you, oh, wait a minute. God made me able to approach his throne. God washed me clean. God forgave my sin. He's washed the sin seed out of my heart. That's something he did, not me. And you should boast in that and be proud of that and be bold in that and strong in that as you stand and you train yourself in godliness to partake of the treasure of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But see, because God sees you in Christ, you always have a relationship with him. Always. Even when you goof up and do a big piece of stupid. Which we have all done, I'm sure, at one time or another. But because he looks at you through Christ, you always have that relationship. And even though you always have that relationship with the Lord, you can break your fellowship with him. That area where I said it was temporal. At any moment, you can be in and out of fellowship with the Lord. When you're in fellowship with him, you're referred to as spiritual. But when you're out of fellowship with him, you're referred to as carnal. Can Christians be carnal? Yes. Can Christians be spiritual? Yes. It depends on our fellowship with the Lord and what we're walking in. You know, when you commit sin, what it does is it separates you from the fellowship of the Lord. It doesn't separate you from the relationship. It just separates you from the fellowship. Come on. Have you ever had a falling out with someone that you love? Oh, come on. You guys have been married more than 3 days, know good and well what I'm talking about. Have you ever had a falling out with somebody in the house? Come on. And man, it's like the air is so thick you could cut it with a knife. Just walking around not talking. We're not fellowship. We're just, y'all know what I'm talking about. What did it take to get out of that? I'm sorry. I messed up. It's my fault. Will you please forgive me? I'm sorry. And then mama come back and hold you. Come on, guys. I'm helping you. Come on. You just got to admit, hey, you're wrong. Come on. But it's okay. The fellowship is back. It didn't break the relationship. Amen? Kathy and I have always been, we've been married 45 years. Glory. Good years. It's been wonderful. But there's been times we've been out of fellowship. I've learned those three words. I am sorry. I was wrong. That's another three words. Will you forgive me? That's a little longer. You just try it, add a word each time, you'll do good. But see, you can be out of fellowship with the Lord as well. The important thing is to stay in fellowship and grow in the Word. In your marriage, the important thing to find in your marriage is to stay in fellowship. To communicate. And when you're wrong, admit it. Swallow your stinking pride and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Or I don't understand. I made a mistake. I want to do better. And keep growing in that relationship as husband and wife and enjoying life together. It's the same thing with the Lord. The important thing is to stay in fellowship with God. When you mess up, fess up. Amen. And you know what? It's the only way that you're going to be any benefit to yourself and to others and to God. Is stay in fellowship with God. Admit when you're wrong. Pray for forgiveness and ask God. He's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you're out of fellowship, man, I'm telling you what, that's a miserable place to be. You may be online today listening. It might be somebody in here today that you're out of fellowship with God. And many times it's your pride that gets in the way. And what you need to do is say, God, I am sorry for goofing up. I am so sorry. Forgive me, Father, and love me and forgive me and walk with me. Man, the miserable people are those that don't admit it. And it happens all the time. I see couples come into church and they're mad at each other. You think you're looking good and you're hiding it, but man, I can read right between the lines. Are you with me? I noticed before you all came in holding hands, and then this Sunday there's a foot of airspace in between you. Oh, we're good. No, come on now. Come on. We need to walk in fellowship with one another. Praise God. Now, you know, when you're that way and you're walking in fellowship with God, that's the kind of person that unbelievers come to and say, listen, I don't know what you got, but I need what you have. Yeah. I see you walking in joy. I've seen this COVID mess, and you've got such great peace. I don't understand it. I need that peace. Listen, I need what you have, whatever it is. I want it. You see, that's what people are looking for, right? Yeah. That we have a fellowship with God, a peace with God. And whatever they have, we need it. Go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And while you're turning there, listen, I just a little testimony that God is so good. See, Kathy and I, we missed the baptismal service, which I hated terribly. But I watched it online. I shouted online with you guys. But we were in isolation for that 14-day period, you know. It's like, what in the world? And so the Lord is so good. You know, after I went, I did a wedding in Sherman. I actually married my daughter and my new son-in-law. Glory to God, glory to God. I've got a great son-in-law. He's awesome. And then we left 2 days after the wedding, and he got sick with COVID. I thought, oh, I done hugged his neck numerous times. Sat across from him, visited with him the whole weekend. And he and Kara, they both, you know, came down. They were tested with COVID, and they're doing much better, and they got through it and doing wonderful, you know. I mean, but we didn't have any symptoms. The Lord, I'm just so grateful. I'm not saying we're anything special. I'm just grateful, you know. The Lord is so good. Of course, my daughter said, Dad, come on now. If it was that easy to catch, we'd already all have it. So I'm believing God for His Word and His protection over all of us. Are you all with me? But we will not walk in fear and anxiety and keep trusting the Lord. And even if I were to catch it, I'm believing that God, no evil shall win out over me. And y'all too, are you with me? Believe God for His Word. So that's just a testimony, and I'm grateful. And they're doing wonderful. Now, Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 13. This is where I really want to go today and take off from here. Jesus is teaching His disciples and a great multitude of people that showed up that were following Him. He went up on the side of a hill where He could actually teach, and brought His disciples to Him, and He began to teach them. And one of the things He says here in verse 13, which I think sometimes we don't understand clearly what He meant by that, but He's talking to believers, and He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth as believers. Now see, that word is speaking to us today as well. If Jesus were sitting here today, He would tell you, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now, we understand the dynamics of salt. It's a preservative, right? I mean, it keeps things from spoiling. Before, when we didn't have refrigerators, I can't even imagine how they did it. I'm so grateful for refrigerators. These are the good old days, okay? A lot of guys said, the good old days back in cowboy days. No, man, they didn't even have running water and toilets inside. They had outhouses you had to go to, and they didn't have refrigerators, you know, and it's still hot in Texas even then. And then, you know, but salt is a preservative. But if you'll read the Word of God, the importance of that salt and that it's a preservative, that it's almost like perpetual food that you can have because of it, that the Lord used that in relationships to emphasize the importance of a relationship He was entering in with His people. If you look over Numbers 18 and you write it down, Numbers 18, you'll find where He was speaking to Aaron and his descendants, said, you're not going to be working and owning land. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you and your descendants, and I am making a covenant of salt with you, which implied that it's solid. It's not going to change. It's going to persevere. It's going to outlast you, Aaron, even, and go down to your descendants. He also said that to David and his descendants when he said, you're going to have dominion over the house of Israel, to you and your descendants, because I'm making a covenant of salt with you. Man, I think that's got significance. In the meaning of salt, when God says to you and I, you're the salt of the earth, well, what does that mean? It's interesting also that He says you're like the salt of the land. When you back up to verse 5, He said, blessed are the meek, are the teachable. Blessed are the teachable, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth, the land, and all that that means. So look at the Greek word salt means this. Because I want to say, okay, God, what does it mean if I'm the salt of the earth? I'm also the salt of the land that I live in and inhabit, persevering. Well, the word there in the Greek is prudence. It says that it's figuratively, it means prudence. We are the prudence of the land. I hope some of you are starting to get a hold of this. Let me give you the definition of prudence, okay? This is really good. Listen, now's the time not to fall asleep, okay? I know, sometimes, you know, you just can color so long and you just doze. I know I have just a wonderful soothing voice and I put your kids asleep. Sometimes even you. I see you going nodding off in there, you know. But now's not the time to fall asleep. Now's the time to get what God's trying to speak into your life. If you're the salt of the land, the word salt means prudence. And the definition of prudent is this: the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason or wisdom. The ability to govern yourself, discipline yourself with wisdom. Sagacity. Sagacity means keen and far-sighted judgment. That means you can see down the road. Sagacity is mean I have vision for not just right here. Some of us are locked into our own little world. We can't see past tomorrow. We don't plan. We don't have the wisdom of making decisions. But it says that prudence has sagacity, your insight in far down the road in the management of affairs. Skill and good judgment, wisdom in the use of resources. Listen, this is what you are when you walk with the Lord. That you're prudent in your decision, in your walk of wisdom. You have the self-discipline for your own life, to use wisdom and integrity in your life, to govern your life, and to make decisions and good judgment of the affairs of life and the resources of life around you, to do good with what God puts in your hand, to be prudent in your actions. You're the salt of the earth. When you see someone going through a hard time, prudence says that you should have love and patience with that person. Because you can see where love and patience will help them to endure. They need someone that can love them through their challenge. You need to be prudent in your decisions. You need to be prudent in your actions and how you pour into the lives of others. Are you seeing this? And when you do that, see, it's like you're the salt and the wisdom and the blessing of God in their life. Oh, praise God. Now here, listen, if you have lost the ability to be prudent, if you have lost the ability to make wise decisions, if you have lost the ability to walk in wisdom, then you basically exist simply to be walked on by the world, to be dictated by the world. What's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. Because you've lost the wisdom, the prudence of God to be salt in the earth. Praise God. As a child and disciple of God, you are the salt or the wisdom of God in the world. You are the outlet or expression of wisdom in the earth. Now listen, I want to read some amazing scriptures to you. I'm going to go over to Colossians 1. I pray that you're taking notes. Colossians 1, verse 25 through 27. Listen to this as Paul begins to express the revelation that God has given to him. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God given to me for you. The dispensation of God means a time period, a time in history. You are living in a time of history that is related to what Paul is sharing with us now. What he's about to share with us, prophets of old saw something coming. They just never saw what it was. They knew it was good. They wanted to see it, but it was hidden from them. But now there's a dispensation where it's being revealed to you and I. And Paul says, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the word of God means to tell the whole story. Now you get insight into the whole story of God's plan, His purpose, His power, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Now let me stop for a minute and take a little side road here. I don't mean to insult our thought patterns or our comments, because I've said it too. When people, a lot of times they think that they don't see how God moves, they say, well, God works in mysterious ways. Not to the church. We need to see how God moves. It maybe is mysterious to us because we don't see it right now, but God wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to see how He moves. He wants to see His wisdom and His knowledge and His salvation that are made available to us, a treasure to be found through the fear of God. Are y'all seeing that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably going to catch you sometime. You're going to say, yeah, the Lord works in my... Oh, man, maybe He doesn't. Okay, here we go. Manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now listen, among the Gentiles. That's you and I. Unless you have a Jewish heritage. Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on now. This turns my crank, man. This gets me excited. It's like I feel like Cornelius, the Roman soldier, the Roman officer that saw. He wanted to serve the God of the Israelites. He saw that He was God above all gods. And he was saying, how do I get saved? When you see this, that Paul says, listen, the mystery's been revealed. You Gentiles can receive Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, in your heart. And you say, wow, well, wait a minute. You mean the life of the person who walked on water, the man who healed the blind and delivered the demoniac, the man who gave his life on the cross and shed his blood to redeem us? I mean, I can have the life of Jesus on the inside of me? Show me where to sign up, man. Where's the line do I get saved in? I mean, how do I get there? You mean I can have the kingdom of God dwelling on the inside of me? Woo! Man, until you that clicks and say, I'm in. I'm all in, Jesus. Come on. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my King of kings and Lord of lords. I want to walk in your kingdom. And that's a revelation that has been provided for you and I, that you and I can walk in the kingdom of God, servants of the Most High God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know you not that the Holy Spirit abides on the inside, not only walks with you, He's on the inside of you. Woo, that's exciting for me. Oh, praise God. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. You know, prophets and men of faith of the old, they didn't see it. It was a mystery, but it's been revealed to you today. To you, sitting right here, Brownwood, Texas, center of Texas, the heart of Texas. The revelation of God is being revealed to you. In Ephesians 3, he begins to share some more about it. He said, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, when you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, that means Texans, Okies, New Yorkers, Californias, Germans, South Africans, Pastor Craig, South Africans, Australians, New Zealands, around the world, that all of us could be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh, glory to God. We are in this together. Every man, woman, and child who would call on the name of the Lord can be fellow heirs of the kingdom of God. Oh, well, that's exciting. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's beyond our comprehension. You get in there and you dig in the riches of Christ, you'll find there's more to dig into. As you step in the light, you're going to see there's more light to see. Man, it's unsearchable, the depth of the riches of Christ Jesus. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. To tap in, fellowshipping with the reality of what God is speaking into our life. To experience it. To train myself in godliness, to live for God, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now listen, here's where you get it right here. Why did God do it? What is some of God's reasoning and purpose behind revealing that to us and inside of us and us living it out? To the intent or purpose that now, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. To the principalities and powers. God's fixing to show out to the natural world, the spiritual world, the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. God chose to express His wisdom to the world by the church. God chose to express Himself through the body of Christ, the church. God chose to make us the salt of the earth. That's God's wisdom in the earth. God's knowledge in the earth. God's preservation in the earth. God's life in the earth. God chose to do that through you. Oh, that's amazing to me. Ephesians 3, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. How many of you ever feel like, man, Lord, I need strength today. I need some strength today. The source of that strength is on the inside of you, by His Spirit in your inner man. Your spirit man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, train yourself, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a power at work on the inside of you. Know you not, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus, God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit is abiding on the inside of you as a child of the King, as a child of God. There's a power on the inside, a resource of all knowledge, a resource of all wisdom, a resource of all strength is on the inside of you, salt of the earth. Yeah. It's on the inside of you, prudence of God, wisdom of God. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things, the Word says. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. In the natural, I don't know all things, but I'm tapped into the One who does. I have an unction from the Holy Spirit. When I have need of something, Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, and I can draw from Him for the answer. There's a power working on the inside of you. Maybe you felt weak. Maybe you felt inadequate. But in God, you're more than adequate. You're more than enough. You're the salt of the earth. You're the thing that preserves the earth. Oh, praise God. Salt of the earth. You and I are living right now in the United States of America. I believe the greatest nation that is throughout the world has ever been. The greatest nation in the world today. And some may say, how did it get there? Oh, we have a great legislature. We got the Senate and the House that come together in bipartisan attitude and make decisions for our country. Oh, baloney. If they had been in control of everything, we'd be down the tubes in a heartbeat, it seems like. Come on. It's up and it's down. It's fighting tooth and toenail back and forth all the time. I believe the nation of the United States is blessed because of the salt of the earth. Because we are here. That the men and women in times past were men and women who followed God, who established our country on Judeo-Christian principles, who established our country on the morals of God, the wisdom of God, the direction of God. They were people who sought God with all their heart and said, God, I need you. I need you for our time is such as this. God, I need your direction. I need your wisdom in how to set this nation up for strength, for the freedom of the people in this nation. We need to be the salt of the earth. Our nation is blessed because you're here. We are the thing, the Christians, the church of the living God, are the things that hold the devil back. We have authority over the enemy. They're the ones that keep the demons on the run. We need to be walking in the wisdom of God, not listening to the world. Oh, my word. Pastor, you done got political. Sorry, too late. The lies of the stinking devil. I refuse to be road-based for the world. Material. Pastor, what does that mean? When you've lost your saltiness in God, your flavor in God, and you begin to be trampled on by the world, being trampled on by the world is speaking in your life, say, hey, listen, you need to align with what we say because we have the right answers. They have their own self-imposed righteousness of the world to say we are righteous in our thoughts and you need to line up with our thoughts. And when people do that, you're being trampled on by the world. There's no righteousness but in God. There's no right and wrong but in God. He's the one who establishes right and wrong, good and evil. Are you with me? And then when you Christians, born-again people, submit to the world's standards, and it's all right to do this evil and call it good, you're being trampled on by the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are what makes this nation what it is. And you need to be involved. Because you're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the judicial system of this world. Principalities and powers. That had to do with the way this world is run. God gives gifts of administration. People who can make the hard decisions. People who will be prudent. Sagacity of looking down the road and make the right decisions with the wisdom of God. To do and say what is right. And some Christians are so stirred up and so messed up because we say, rise up in our world, rise up in our nation, and speak the truth and stand for what is right, and they'll say that that's wrong. That's because they're being trampled on by the world's theology, the world's standards. Are you following me? Remember the blind man that was healed? Man, I just had great revelation in that. That blind man that was healed, and they brought him in before the religious leaders of the day. How was it you were healed? We know this man serves the devil, et cetera, et cetera. He told them once, and then they went to the parents. Of course, they bailed ship and threw him under the bus. Hey, we don't know. He's old enough. Let him talk for himself. Y'all remember the story? They brought him back in, and he said, I told you the truth. Would you get saved? Would you accept this man? I don't know. But what I do know is that I was blind, and now I'm healed. Now, do you see a parallel with that in our nation? When we have good leaders today who are doing right by their convictions? Man, and I tell you what, it's like the enemy is against them. There's a facet of our society that it doesn't matter what you do. If you don't line up under what they say is right, under what they say it should look like, and they should act, then you're wrong. I mean, what could Jesus do? He healed a man and it still wasn't good enough. We have leaders of our nation today that no matter what they do, the enemy's going to be against them. You need to have the wisdom to know the difference. And we need to be praying for the church. If the church, when we pray for the church to arise today, what I pray for them to arise is to come to themselves and scales to fall from their eyes to see righteously. Let righteousness be exalted and wickedness brought down to make righteous decisions. What is right is right and what is wrong. And you can never mix those things. And whatever the world says that we can do it without God. But that's, I mean, come on now. This is my last shot as your full-time pastor. I mean, as the pastor. Craig will love on you when he gets here. So that pastor, I'm sure we got rid of him, man. He's talking politics. Listen, we wouldn't have the freedom in our nation today had the church not stood up. the preachers of our nation were called the Black Robe Regiment. And the British said, if had it not been for the Black Robe Regiment, we probably would have defeated them. That was men standing up in the pulpit and saying, what is right, and what is wrong is wrong. We need to stand for integrity of heart and freedom by our God. Well, I didn't mean it to go this direction. That's not in my notes. But you're... Oh, glory to God. Didn't I have some more notes? Okay. I just... With so many Christians today, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I believe that people who have not having the saltiness of the wisdom of God, they've either lost it or they never knew it to begin with, to season, that they could season everything around them, and they're being stepped on by the world. So when you pray for the Christians, your fellow brothers and sisters, pray that their eyes be opened. I know by experience with Christians, their eyes can be blinded. I can tell you example after example where we prayed for people and close friends. And one friend in particular said, you know what? I can remember the very moment I was sitting in my living room looking toward my fireplace, and it's like God pulled the curtain back and suddenly I saw. It's like when those scales fell from his eyes, he realized what the enemy was doing. It's amazing. So when we pray for our brothers and sisters, when we pray for the church, an awakening to the church, to awaken out of lethargy coming from blindness and deceit, not to fall for the deceit of the world system, but we should be in control of the world system for freedom, for integrity. Are y'all with me? And believe God for great things. And keep your savor. Now listen, a couple other things, and I'm going to close. Mark 9:50 says this, salt is good. Again, but if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, it says, and have peace one with another. Have salt in yourselves. See, you keep the savor in the salt, the flavor in the salt, by having salt in yourself. That's a key point now. It's a very key principle. You can't season the land and the lives around you until you're full of salt yourself. Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with something that preserves, that gives life, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Drawing from the wisdom of God, you need to have salt in yourself to be a preserving factor in the lives of other people. Before you can walk in wisdom, you have to have knowledge or take it in the Word of God. See, your speech is wisdom in action. If you want to be the salt of the earth, you need to have prudence, but you need to have salt in yourself. Job, and I think this is the last scripture I'll share because I'm running out of time, but Job. Now let me ask you, how many of you have had some unsavory situations in your life? Okay, that's good. An unsavory situation is a hardship, something, man, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. I dare say all of us have had that situation, right? Because here I'm turning this focus of salt to being inside of you. Now listen to what Job said. He said, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? See, the white of the egg is referring to the unsavory things of our life that we need to salt. So there's times in our life that need to be nurtured in the Word of God and strengthened by the Word of God. There's unsavory things that come to our life, and I need to apply the Word of God to my situation. Like, God, this hurts. Lord, this is not good, but I know this. The greater one lives on the inside of me. God, I know that it looks bad, but Lord, you will cause me to persevere because, God, you are faithful to your promise. Your faithful promises will be my shield and my protection. God, I will stand in you, Father God. I will apply the Word of God to my own life, Lord. I'm more than a conqueror, Lord. And in all things I will give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Lord, I will be thankful in my heart because, God, you are my answer. Do you see how I'm applying the salt of God's Word to my situation, to my life, to my unsavory situation? And then I will have salt to give to someone else. And you can tell them, listen, I know it's hard what you're going through, but I'm telling you, God is faithful. God's been faithful in my life, and he loves you just like he loves me, and God will be faithful to you just like he's faithful to me. God is a God of love and strength and power, and he's no respecter of persons. If God did it for me, he can do it for you. So see, that gives you the saltiness of your life, that preservation, that preserving factor in who you are. You don't just go out and try to just act like the salt. You are the salt. Don't just try to say, well, I'm going to be salt today. No, you have the Word of God. You have that on the inside of you. And you pour out of that. You just be who you are. Don't just try to be salt. You are salt. You're the salt of the earth. You're the blessing of God to everyone around you. Oh, praise God. Let's be who God's made us to be. Let's be the salt of the earth, the wisdom expression of God. Oh, praise God. Oh, I've got to quit right here. I've got, okay, 14 pages of notes, and we can't go any further. I love you guys. This is a word I believe for us today, to rise up and be who God's made us to be. Don't look back. When I was reading that about Paul, when he said, man, I'm the least deserving of all the apostles. Have you ever felt that way? He said, Lord, the things I have done, I don't deserve to be standing here with you, but I am what I am. Y'all with me? Because see, the devil will come to you and he'll lie and he'll deceive and he'll try to steal the saltiness out of your life, the very flavor of your life, of God, out of your life. And you'll say, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm here because of God. It's nothing I did. God's the one that made this for me. God is the one that made this available for me. God's the one that did this in my life. And I'm not going to let his grace and his mercy be wasted on me. I'm going to stand up and be the salt of the earth. I'm going to be a light shining in a world of darkness. I'm going to be a love of God expressed amongst my friends and my coworkers, my acquaintances, and especially in my church. Amen? All right, let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, glory to God. Now, before I forget, I want to say thank you to those that have joined us online. All those in our church family and others across the world, we're grateful that you've joined us, and we pray God's richest blessings on you. That you be blessed in all that you lay your hand to and prosper in the things of God. Be the salt of the earth. Now, I want to say something to you guys today, and just do something before we quit. We've got a little bit of time. I got 2 minutes. Listen, I really want to, I feel like in the first service, we did this, and I'd like to do this in the second service today as well. I just, you know, if there's someone in here today, and right where you are, I'm not going to ask you to get out and come down to the front for right now. But listen, if you say, hey, listen, I need healing in my body, Pastor. I need you to pray for me. I need healing in my body. I'm going through something. And if you just simply just slip up your hand right where you are, don't be embarrassed. We're going to hold your hand up where we can see. You need healing. I see a couple across the room. See some others. Okay, good. Praise God. Now hold them up. Now look around and see those people with their hands up. We're going to pray for them. I would like for you to go and lay hands on them. The Bible says we lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. So right there, as they have their hands up, now just start gathering around right now and let's lay hands on them. We're going to pray together for those who have their hands up. Praise God. We're going to believe God for the provision of healing that Jesus made available to us on that cross and before that cross as he was being beaten. It was in an atonement. He atoned for our sickness and disease. The Bible says our pains and our sorrows, our sickness and disease were on him that we might be healed, and by his stripes we were healed. So, Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for your word. We lean heavily on the provision made for us, and that was of healing. That, Lord, until our time is done here, Father, we should be walking in radiant health and in health, Lord God, to your glory, and take advantage of the provision that was made for us. So, Father, we speak healing over these bodies. Lord, we pray that your healing virtue will flow through their body right now. Lord, that every symptom would be gone in the name of Jesus. We pray restoration for areas that were damaged, Lord God, damaged nerves and muscles, Father God. Lord, we pray for restoration and healing in that. Lord, and we thank you for your healing power flowing through these bodies today. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to pray for one another and see you work in our lives, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to believe you, Father, for your word. Your word is true, and it's to your glory, Father, that we give this, Father, the healing virtue. Lord, we thank you for healing their bodies, and we receive it with gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we're expecting results. Psalms 105, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds among the people. Now, when you see the symptoms of that be gone and your healing manifested, you need to testify. You need to share what has happened, okay? It's to God's glory. He deserves more than we can give him. So as I close the service today in prayer, if you're new with us, you're visiting today, we have ministry teams that will be down front, and they would pray with you with anything that you have. If there's other areas of your life you feel like you need prayer, then take advantage of them. Let them pray with you and believe God with you, that maybe they have a word for you from the Lord. They're here for you. Father, we love you and we bless you. Lord, we just bless you for all your goodness and your grace and your mercy abounding toward us right now. Father, we're so grateful for what you're doing in our life and what you have ahead of us. Father, I'm grateful for Pastor Craig and Leanne, Father. I'm grateful for their tender hearts before you, their humble hearts before you, to serve you, Lord, to follow you, Lord Jesus, and your leading. And Lord, I'm thankful for this body, Lord God. I'm thankful for the fellowship and the love that we have had through these 15 years of serving you together, serving in the kingdom, and how many lives have been touched because we've done the work of the ministry together, Father, and how many lives are yet to be touched, Father, for your glory. And I pray blessings on our pastors as they come in, Father. And Lord, I thank you for that you have something next for Kathy and I. The anointing on our lives, Father, will be used in the kingdom. And Lord, it's for your glory. Jesus, we follow you. Speak into our lives and guide our every step, I pray. So Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Father. These are your sheep and heritage, not mine. And I pray that you will bless them, Father, as they go out this week, that their days will be prosperous and productive in you. And whatever they lay their hand to would prosper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I love you guys. God bless you. If you need prayer, come down and let us pray for you. Have a wonderful week. I love you guys.